Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
I just got parole. I'm just 25 years old. I'm your ice cream man, so you better look out for me.
That didn't sound like a scooter crunch to me.
No. We're going to talk today about ice cream sandwiches, but not the tasty chili treat that can give you an ice cream headache. Oh, no. This can give you a headache of a totally different nature. That's just guesswork by me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I haven't actually used it yet. Now, we're talking about the latest build, as of the recording of this podcast, the latest build of Android's mobile Android's operating system. It is a mobile operating system. It would officially be Android 4.0.
Yes, ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, if you are not familiar with the Android operating system, this is, of course, the smartphone and tablet operating system that Google produces. And ever since they got out of alpha and beta, they've named their various builds after tasty desserts.
Yes.
So we had cupcake, donut, eclair, froyo, gingerbread, and honeycomb up to now.
Honeycomb.
Yeah, fantastic. So the nice, neat thing about ice cream sandwich to me, or what I think is kind of interesting, is that, okay, you remember when honeycomb debuted, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was some excitement, but there was also some grousing because Google already has a bit of a black eye about all the different versions of Android that are out on the market.
Right. Yeah. Well, it depends on what phone that you have too, because some of them, it's easy to find a good deal on an Android phone,
yeah.
But you'll find out in a lot of cases that you are one or more versions of the operating system behind the cutting edge.
Yes.
And a lot of people were finding, hey, I got Android, and it turns out that it's not as, the phone isn't as robust and can't handle as advanced an operating system.
Right.
And so people are out there with a variety of different kinds of phones, running a variety of different versions of the Android operating system.
Yeah. So like This is one of the things that really differentiates Android from iOS and Apple's approach.
Yeah.
Because Apple is in charge of creating the hardware and the software.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a marriage between hardware and software where the hardware is going to support the software because it was designed to do so from the ground up.
And vice versa. The software is designed to work on that hardware.
Yeah, to optimize for that hardware. So Apple, in a way, you know, their system, it means that you don't have as much choice, really. You have the latest iPhone that you can purchase, or you can purchase an iPhone that's usually a generation or maybe two generations older.
Yeah.
But they're all iPhones. You know, it's all going to have the form factor that is common across that generation of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to find any variation beyond that. But it does mean that, you're less likely to be outpaced by the operating system. At least significantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, older versions of the iPhone are not able to run the current version of iOS.
Right.
But because contracts come up in usually 2 years in the United States, the thinking process is, well, you're not going to be, you know, left behind for very long, because once your contract's up, then you can upgrade to the latest handset and you'll be able to use the latest operating system.
Right.
Google, it's different, because Google does not create right now its own hardware.
Right.
Even though there is the possibility that Google will purchase Motorola Mobility, and so maybe in the future we will see that happen. Right now, that's not the way it works. The way it works is that various handset manufacturers across multiple countries and carriers are creating devices that run Android.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those devices can run Android up to a certain point, but beyond that, they aren't capable of running Android because the operating system's resource demands are greater than what the hardware can provide.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, some of the earliest Android phones that came out had a upper limit of Android 1.6. They couldn't go beyond that. Now we're talking about Android 4 in this podcast, so you can see that you would be left far behind.
Right.
So because multiple manufacturers are making these handsets, they're coming out all the time. You know, a new iPhone comes out in general between 12 and 18 months, as
mm-hmm.
we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
A new Android phone comes out every couple of weeks.
Right.
It seems like.
Well, especially right now, as of the time we're recording this podcast, we've had some very high profile devices released in the last two weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that case, you could go out, purchase your brand new Google phone with the highest running operating system that you can get on that phone at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks later, you can find out that there's a new phone that's just been released that even makes the one you just purchased look, it may not look pathetic. That would be going too far, but it may not be as fully featured.
Right.
As the newest phone.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be very frustrating. Well, Google's had a lot of criticism directed to it because it had, it had created this operating system where there were so many different versions out there on the market. Not all of this is Google's fault, but that it created something that we call fragmentation,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you could have three or four people all with Google devices get in a room together and realize that no two of them are running the same version of the operating system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you get on top of that, you got things like you've got the ability of carriers to overlay their own user interface on top of the Android operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the fragmentation even greater. Well, then when Google released Honeycomb, which was a tablet operating system, it was designed, optimized for tablets, not for smartphones, they got even more criticism because now you have a smartphone operating system and a tablet operating system.
Both of which are called Android.
Yeah, so now the fragmentation is even worse. Well, Ice Cream Sandwich moves to help resolve that, in that Ice Cream Sandwich is bringing together the operating system of the tablet and the smartphone. Ideally, the Ice Cream Sandwich operating system build of Android will run equally well on tablets and smartphones, and we will start to have a resolution of this fragmentation.
Mm-hmm.
And just in case you guys are curious, yeah, there are Android tablets that are on the market that actually run older versions of the Android operating system, versions older than Honeycomb.
Right. Yeah.
So there are some versions out there where they're running the smartphone operating system on a tablet, and people were complaining about it. They said, you know, this really – doesn't feel like a tablet operating system. And that's why Honeycomb was, you know, Google's answer to that. So, well, this is the optimized one. And now Ice Cream Sandwich is taking everything they've learned from designing smartphone operating systems and tablet operating systems and combining it into a single package.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's similar to Apple's approach with iOS.
Right, right. And in another comparison to iOS, and I know that I've read criticism lately about how Android stands alone and shouldn't necessarily be compared to iOS, but it's inevitable that it would draw these comparisons because they are the two leading operating systems for smartphones and tablets at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They have said too that Ice Cream Sandwich is designed to be more user friendly and easier for people who are not familiar with smartphone and tablet operating systems to get in. You know, one of the strong points of Android is that it is more open and it has a lot of advanced features that the iOS doesn't have or didn't have up until iOS 5.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, some people have criticized it for being so complex that newbies can't jump in and use it.
Yeah.
And Ice Cream Sandwich is supposed to help with that. One of the features I think that people will really like, especially new people, is the face recognition for the unlocking of the phone.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. The idea here
face
is that
unlock.
Yeah, you face unlock. You hold your phone up to your face, and there, you know, assuming that your phone has a front-facing camera,
mm-hmm.
Which the
mine does,
the Google Nexus, which is the what they're talking. That was the phone they featured Ice Cream Sandwich when Google was actually talking about Ice Cream Sandwich. That was the phone they were using. It's a Samsung phone, as I recall.
Yeah.
And it has a front-facing camera. You hold it up to your face, and assuming that you're in a well-lit area where the camera can actually detect the contours of your face, it will unlock your phone once the facial recognition software verifies that it's you. Now, this does raise some questions.
Yeah.
Like, could you fool the facial recognition software by holding up a picture of someone and like the person who owns that phone? If you hold up a picture of that person to the camera on the phone, would the picture be enough to fool the facial recognition software? Because we have seen that happen in other devices that have facial recognition software.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded specifically of some vending machines in Japan that sold cigarettes.
I remember that.
And the cigarettes, there's an age limit. You have to be a certain age in order to purchase cigarettes legally.
Yeah.
And so, but they found, in order to get around that, you know, so that kids would not just walk up to the cigarette machine and buy cigarettes, they included a camera that would use some facial recognition software, not to identify someone, but to determine if that person was old enough.
Yeah.
Just looking for specific kind of features and saying, all right, well, this is someone who is clear, has some years under their belt, so they can smoke if they want to.
Yeah.
Don't smoke, kids. It was discovered that if you just took a picture of an old person, held the picture up to the camera, it would fool the camera and you could purchase as many, you know, smokes as you wanted.
Right.
Kids, don't smoke. Don't do it. Anyway, so the question is, could the facial recognition software on this Google device be fooled by a picture? Also, what if you have an identical twin? Could the identical twin pick up your phone and then unlock it using his or her own face? Also, for those of us with ZZ Top-like facial hair, what happens if we shave? Are we no longer able to access our phone? Does it say, I don't recognize you? Go away for 6 months and come back and try again.
Well, he's got legs and he
knows how to use them. Nice. But even if that does happen, even if it gets to a point where, let's say it's too dark, just a simple scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too dark for it to work. You can still unlock your phone using one of the more traditional ways, like the finger swipe type stuff where you have to draw a pattern or whatever. You can still do that. So it's not like you're going to be bricked out of your phone because you ended up, you know, changing your face around.
I'm reminded of that Muppet machine that would do that for you.
Where it pull the nose off and put on another one. You know, you can actually do that at the Center for Puppetry Arts.
Oh.
They have a puppet thing where you can change out eyes and noses and mouths. It's awesome. Yeah. So, that's a pretty cool feature. The facial recognition, I agree. Also, voice recognition technology has become really important with Google. Now, it's interesting because this this leads to comparisons with Apple's Siri. And Siri, and when I say Apple's Siri, Apple actually purchased the company that created Siri, but, you know, they're incorporating it into iOS.
Right.
Now Siri has got a sense of humor and a personality.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. I mean, it's artificial, but it's there. It's been programmed in.
So well, mine's artificial too. So.
Your personality is artificial?
Yes.
I've often noticed that. You know, I felt a little plastic. But, the Google Voice version, there are ways where you can operate your phone through using just voice commands.
Sure.
Just like you could with Siri, but there's not that sort of personality, that quirky sense there. And it's not as deeply integrated as it is with Apple's product, but you can do a lot of that stuff on your Google phone. One of the things I thought was kind of cool though is that with Android Ice Cream,
mm-hmm.
it has real-time speech-to-text recognition. So if you hold up the phone and you're talking into it, you'll see your words start to appear on the screen as you're talking. Now, with older versions of Android, what would happen is you would activate your phone, you'd turn on the little microphone icon, and you would speak into your phone, you would stop speaking, you would get a little loading page as it was sending the data to the cloud to be analyzed, the cloud would send the data back down, and then you would see the result, and it would be whatever you said in full.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dictating a fairly long email, then you're not going to get a chance to actually see what's coming up until you're done. Now, with Ice Cream Sandwich, what it's doing is it's doing real-time streaming. So it's streaming the data up as it's receiving it, hitting the cloud, analyzing it, and sending it back down while you're still talking.
Right.
So you could be dictating a very long email, and you're going to start seeing it appear after you start talking. Now, that might actually be distracting for someone, but it's also a way to say, like, you can review what you're saying immediately. They also highlight words or underline words mm-hmm. that have a lot of homonyms. Especially with depending upon the way you speak.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say a word and you know, it's the way I say that word, maybe I get a little mush mouth syndrome going or something, but I say the word in such a way that sounds like another word. If Google's not sure of the word you said based upon its context and your pronunciation, you'll get this little underline under it. And if you click on the word, it'll give you multiple words to choose from that are homonyms of whatever it was you said. So you can pick the correct word for that particular context. So that's kind of cool that, you know, it's not just going to put in one word when you said something else.
Oh, there, Jonathan.
Yeah, there you go.
No, there, Jonathan.
There, Castle. So you don't get that because you still haven't seen that movie. But yeah, that was one of the features that I thought was really cool. The facial recognition was neat. The voice recognition is neat. There's a lot of other things that they've included with this update to the operating system. The camera now has some added functionality.
Yeah, that you can edit. You have a lot more capacity to edit photos.
And you can edit stuff like the simple things like removing red eye and that kind of stuff and cropping photos. But you can also do like the hipster layers where you make things look like posters and stuff. And
yeah,
you're so hip.
Apparently Jonathan doesn't like that.
But you can also do panoramic shots where mm-hmm. you hold the camera up and you start taking a photo and you just you pan to the left or to the right. Or even, I guess, across the sky if you wanted to. And you wait until you get all the way to where you want to end. And then what will happen is the Ice Cream Sandwich has software in it that will allow it to stitch together all the various pictures that you've just taken by slowly panning. You don't have to do anything. The camera's doing it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll stitch it together into a panoramic photo.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's pretty neat. And also it has the features that we've come to expect with a lot of the most recent digital cameras and smartphones, like tap to focus. So
yeah.
If you've got multiple things in a frame, you can tap one of them to tell the camera, this is what I actually want to take a picture of. This other stuff is kind of background.
Yeah.
And that's helpful. And, of course, that's like digital zoom and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the shutter speed is – there's, like, no delay or very little lag between when you hit the camera and when the photo is taken, which is that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a phone that had a camera where there was like a noticeable delay from when you tried to take a picture to when the picture was taken?
Well, on my phone, it takes about a second.
And that can
it
be
seems like.
That can be enough for it to mess you up.
Yeah. I mean, it's not long, but it's long enough.
Like, it's long enough so that you can miss a moment you were trying to capture, or more frequently in my case, I'll take a photo, think that the photo's been taken, start to move the camera, and that's when the camera takes it. And that's, so I mean, I'm a victim of my own impatience there. But this is, with Ice Cream Sandwich, they've really optimized the camera software so that it'll take that photo much more quickly. Now, some of that's also going to depend on the hardware. And again, like we said, Android can be used across multiple kinds of hardware. So sometimes you'll come across an Android handset that might take phenomenal photos. Mm-hmm. And you might come up with another one where the photos just look grainy and just there's the low resolution, or they just don't look good. And some of that is due to the hardware limitations. So even though the software supports it, unless the hardware is comparable, you could still have a less than ideal experience.
Mm-hmm. So
some other stuff that they've included in Ice Cream Sandwich. There's anything else in particular you wanted to talk about? I was just going to start hitting some of the other features, but if there's one or two that you really like, we can focus on those.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I see what you did there. I think one of the ones that I've seen most people interested in is Android Beam.
Oh, yeah. Beam is pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I mean, immediately when I saw that, basically Android Beam gives you the ability to give people information from your phone when it's in proximity to another one.
Yeah. And the demo I saw, they actually had the two phones touch.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Which reminds me of Bump.
Yeah. It also reminded me of Squirting.
Yeah.
The old Microsoft Zune. So
you might say, well, that, you know, we've had that for a while. You know, that's I hear that on from both sides when somebody else introduces a feature. Oh, well, you know, a Siri. Oh, an Android. We the Android people have had that for years.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Cut and paste.
Yeah. Well, but an Android Beam, you know, I thought of Bump, and I thought, well, you know, that's not something. In fact, Bump is, you know, cross-platform.
Yeah.
However, this is more than just that, though. You can transfer all kinds of files.
Yep.
With Android Beam.
And they've built it into the API so that developers can create applications that take advantage of this. So here's some examples that you could use this technology. Let's say, all right, basic example. I am listening to a song on Pandora or something like that. And Pandora's built in the API where I can actually share my playlist with someone else or my station with someone else. Mm-hmm. And Chris has the same kind of he has a phone that also has this capability. Right now, by the way, Google Nexus is the only phone that can do this.
Because you have to have near-field communication?
Yeah, built into it. As we see more NFC phones come out from using Android, then I'm sure we'll see this used in various handsets.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will be completely compatible across all handsets. So that way I'm not limited to just other people who own the same type of phone that I do.
Right.
All right. So let's say that I've got this song or this playlist playing and I want to share it with Chris, and I hold it up to his phone, and then now his Pandora has access to the same playlist, the same station mm-hmm. that I have created. That's a simple application. Or the one that I saw in the demo was that someone's watching a YouTube video, they hold their phone up to someone else's phone, and now the second phone picks up and is able to watch that YouTube video at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But let's put it into a game.
Okay.
And say that you've got a game on your phone that is, let's say it's a role-playing game.
Okay.
And it's a role-playing game where it's essentially a massively multiplayer role-playing game, but, you know, with limited interaction with other characters. And then I hold up my phone to your phone, and our characters meet and exchange stuff so that each of our characters comes out stronger than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a cool little feature that you could build into a game using this technology. Now there's other stuff too. You know, you can transfer notes and you can do all sorts of things. It's a neat way of being able to manage data without having to set up an email or some sort of file sharing service. It makes it really quick and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's using near-field communication, it's secure in the sense that you don't have to worry about, you know, you're transferring this across a public Wi-Fi hotspot or something.
Right.
It's, you know, unless someone's right up on you and has some way of being able to read your communication, then you're pretty much okay.
Yeah, somebody's running to you trying to touch your phone with theirs, that may be a sign that something is wrong.
That's an indicator that you may need to pay attention to what's going on around you.
I'm on base. You can't tag me. Mm. So that was another feature that I'd seen a lot of people talking about.
Yep.
Let's see.
There's the, go ahead.
I was going to say the app management too is supposed to be improved.
Yep.
One of the concerns that a lot of Android users have is that they have little knowledge of all the stuff that's running on their phone, and they all of a sudden they have no battery because they have 63 apps running and,
yeah.
You know, I don't need that thing open. Why is it still running? I told it to close. I find that kind of frustrating with my Android phone.
Yeah. Have you seen some of the screens for the data management?
No, I actually haven't.
They drill down. Because what will happen is, let's say that you are just curious to see how you've been using, like how much data you've been using.
Right.
That's a concern too, because a lot of plans have a limit on how much data you can use per month.
Mm-hmm.
But not every phone is, not every operating system makes it easy to determine how much data you're using.
Right.
Well, Ice Cream Sandwich has it built in where you can go into a data management app and take a look, and you'll see how much data you've used up to that point. And it'll even break it down and show you which apps are using the most data and when.
Now, I would really like to have that option right now.
And it does it as line graphs. It does it as pie charts. It gives you really a good idea of where your data usage is coming from. And if you want, you know, a lot of if you have a cap on your data limit and you don't want to go over it, you can actually set a hard stop on your data usage. And when your data usage hits that, that's it. Your phone won't let you use data unless you override the limit you've set.
Nice.
So that way you don't have to worry about, oh, it's getting close to the end of the month and suddenly your phone tells you, no, you don't want to do this, because if you do, you're going to be paying a truckload of money and overage fees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah, things that allow you to manage your apps better so that you maximize your battery life and you don't go over your data limit, those are really thoughtful features.
You want to know another small feature that's related to that I really like the idea of?
What's that?
I understand that with Ice Cream Sandwich, if you have a device from a carrier that has bundled a whole bunch of stuff on your phone that you don't want, that it will allow you to uninstall anything from your phone.
Wow.
See, right now, unless I root my phone, I cannot remove 3 or 4 applications that I never use that my
that are on your
provider phone. Yeah. Put on there, and I can't get off.
I have the same. I've got a few apps that are on my phone that I never use. I don't imagine I will use, but I can't uninstall them unless I root my phone. And I don't do – people often ask me why I don't root my phone, because I'm a tech guy. I don't root my phone because I use my phone so frequently for so many things that I don't want to run into the situation where I have a fatal crash and I have to restart from factories, you know, go back to factory settings. And I don't want an instance where that happens and it throws me off.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's because I use my phone for everything. I mean, I use it for work stuff and I use it for my own personal use. It is my personal phone. But
right.
I use it for everything. So I don't want to take the risk of, rooting something and then having an app muck it up.
Yeah. I need it to work when I need it to work and not.
Yes.
Know,
so
through
other
some
stuff,
fault of my own.
Yeah. Another thing that's interesting, hardware buttons, they're gone.
Oh yeah.
You know, instead mm-hmm. of there's a little section at the very bottom of the screen when you're looking at. By the way, the Google Nexus has an enormous screen. It's like 4.6 inches.
Yeah.
For a smartphone, that's pretty big. But at the bottom of the screen, you'll have a back button and like a file button mm-hmm. and the home button. There's no more menu button down there as there were with older Android phones. And these are not actual buttons. They're on the screen, and when you get into certain views, those just fade away.
So they're contextual
yes,
as well.
They are contextual buttons. So that's a little different. That's actually kind of neat because it gives you even more screen space, and that makes apps, you know, more useful.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some other basic housekeeping type stuff like folder creation, which is something that Apple folks have been using for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you create a folder in an Android Ice Cream phone is that you can drag an icon of an app on top of another icon and let go, and it will automatically group those two icons together in a folder, and then you can name the folder whatever you want.
Right.
So you could put all your social apps in one folder and you call it social. Mm-hmm. And that way you manage that. You don't have a cluttered screen on your smartphone when you open it up.
Right.
So yeah, there's lots of other neat little features like that. I'm sure we're going to learn more as we get closer. Oh, one of the most important things that I heard was that that apparently if your phone can run Android 2.3, which is Gingerbread,
yes,
it will be able to run Ice Cream Sandwich.
That's what I understand.
And so that Ice Cream Sandwich will be released for all the phones that can run Gingerbread. Although the schedule of that release date is largely up to the actual carriers. So some of us may be waiting around this time next year for Gingerbread, finally.
Someone's looking directly at me when he says that.
While other people have Ice Cream Sandwich. Well, hey, to be fair, I have not had Gingerbread for very long.
Yeah.
And Ice Cream Sandwich is now going to be the next new thing. And hopefully they will really roll this out. It's not just the carriers either. It's also the handset manufacturers. There's a lot of work that goes into rolling out the updates to the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
I can only hope that they will incorporate this as quickly as they can, because I would love to get my hands on some of these features. I mean, a lot of the stuff, I mean, I don't know that my hardware could support everything that Ice Cream Sandwich promises, but I would at least like the chance to try it out.
Yeah, yeah. I would too. Of course, I need Gingerbread first.
I thought of one other little thing I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
Which is not a huge deal for most people, but it's nice. You can resize widgets now.
Oh, okay.
So, you get a widget, you put it on your screen. Yeah. Which is great depending on, the size of screen you have. You might not have a Google Nexus, which has that enormous screen, and
right.
You might want, I just need enough of this widget to show, like a Gmail widget. You might want it to show just one email message at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can actually resize the window so it does that, and that frees up more desktop space or phone top space so that you can put other apps up there.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies across to all the widgets. And this was kind of, I think that was something that they carried over from Honeycomb, that you could do that on the Android tablets,
right.
But you couldn't do it on the smartphones until Ice Cream Sandwich rolled around.
Interesting.
Or plopped around. I guess Ice Cream Sandwiches don't really roll.
Not really. Well, it depends on the shape.
I guess if you get a round one.
Yeah, I've seen some round ones.
Yeah.
So, but it's promising though.
Yeah.
The operating system, I think, is really maturing.
Yep.
With these new features. And, I think this is definitely a step forward, and it's probably not as much of a shot across the bow to iOS as it is to Microsoft and BlackBerry.
Yeah.
As far as keeping
why
up.
Why even keep shooting BlackBerry? I mean, they're sinking on their own well enough.
Say they've shot themselves in the foot.
Right, yeah. They're plugging more holes in that boat than – there's more holes than boat at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll turn it around, though. Like we said in our RIM podcast, it may very well turn out that BlackBerry gets the last laugh. But right now, I just don't think that that's necessarily someone you go after. I guess what Google could go after is – to try and get into the enterprise market.
Yeah.
That's where BlackBerry really still is firmly entrenched. So if Google can do that – now, granted, most of these features that we've talked about are really aimed at consumers.
Yeah, definitely.
These are really consumer-friendly features. But
for example, the face unlock is not going to work for enterprise.
No.
Because if it can be fooled and there's proprietary information on that phone –
yeah, that's what we call a bad thing.
A bad thing.
Yeah. So, we'll have to see. But I am interested to see how this turns out. I mean, I am an Android phone user, so of course I'm eager to get hold of this on one of my own devices. Or maybe my next Android phone will just natively support it. It'll still be a while. I'm under contract for another year. So it'll take a little bit before I upgrade.
Yeah, your next phone will be running Jelly Bean.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is it's going to be, starting with K.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be like, I don't know, Koala Custard with a K.
Koala Custard?
No, I guess that would be an Ubuntu thing.
Yeah. Well, closer to it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that'll wrap up this discussion. Oh, did you hear what their new typeface is called?
Roboto.
Domo Arigato. All right, everyone. That wraps up our discussion about Android.
Sticks in your head.
Ice cream sandwich. I hope all of you enjoyed this. If you have a request for a specific topic that you would like us to tackle, let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW. Or you can shoot us an email. That email address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.